Now on BBC Radio 4, Comic Fringes, and the final story in our week of readings from this year's Edinburgh Festival Fringe is the stirring tale of A Man with a Mission. Recorded earlier today at the Pleasance Cabaret Bar, James Bryce reads Duckman by Brian Hennigan.
I was staring at the job centre window when I saw the card. Duckman required. It looked like my kind of job. Somewhere I could make a meaningful difference. The week before, I had been downsized out of my last position. The week before that, Millicent had left me for a video dating agency. Maybe this was the change of luck I'd been hoping for. After an intense consultation with the placement consultant, an interview was arranged for that afternoon. Apparently, the situation was critical. I went home, dusted down my suit, and got out the tie. The room was sparsely furnished. A sign on the wall read, "You don't have to be mad to work here." Behind a table sat a man in a suit. On the table sat a plastic duck. Neither had moved since I came in. A mirror ran the length of the room. There was a telephone on the wall. "The situation is critical," announced the man. "So it seems," I replied. Abruptly, he pointed at the model before him. "Well?" he asked. "It's a duck," I said. "Congratulations," he said. Of course, it wasn't that simple. There were papers for me to sign and other people to meet. They seemed nice enough. They always do. Coffee arrived, and we stood around, most of us just looking out at the traffic, others talking. Somebody asked if there was any tea, and the room fell quiet. Then I was ushered out to a small lecture hall, where I was given more detailed guidance and more coffee. And that was that. I was in. It was a nice way to start the week. The instructions were simple. Feed the ducks and only the ducks. No other wildlife should benefit. They had their own systems. They were not to be my concern. I could see the point. It's best not to meddle. Stick to the task in hand. Do not deviate. The first shift went well enough. A few problems, nothing major. Certainly nothing I couldn't handle. I phoned in my report and left. Walking home from the pond, I saw the newspaper headlines, "New Duck Man for City." There was me on the cover, snapped long distance, taking what looked like a handful of wholemeal out of the bag. I bought a copy of the paper, the shop assistant flashing glances between my face and the front page photograph as I counted out the right money. I gave a brief smile, and she burst into applause. Then I caught the bus home. No point loitering. That night, the telephone never stopped, even when I unplugged it. Mostly there were questions. What was my favourite tune? Who'd be my ideal partner? Are we descended from monkeys, and if so, whose? By the time I got to bed, it was late, far later than was reasonable. The next morning I called the office, and they said they'd deal with it. "We know people," said the voice. My telephone never rang again, although I could still make outgoing calls. I was sitting on the bench, breaking up bread, when I heard a voice. "Hey, mister." I looked down and saw a small girl offering a pen and a piece of paper. "Can we get your autograph, please?" She looked off behind her to the urging figure of a man in a hat. He waved to me and nodded eagerly. I took the pen and wrote, "Duck Man." The little girl inspected this, then backed off, content. The pond went quiet. Time for lunch. The ducks gathered round and I gave them their fill. That night, there were several notes shoved under my door. I flicked through them. The usual mix of photo requests, marriage proposals, and complimentary food and beverage offers. I had called the office about these when they started. "You're the duck man," they told me. I nodded. "Hello? Hello?" they said. Tonight, I recognized the handwriting in one of the letters. Drawing it closer, I sniffed the purple envelope. No stamp. Millicent. I closed the front door, pulled the curtains together, and sat down in the armchair. Time to think, without the distraction of visible objects. So, how are things? I asked, sipping my whiskey. They're wonderful, she said, enjoying her tequila, relishing its cosmopolitan spelling. Behind me, I heard the scuffle of another photographer being thrown out of the plush city bar. You're looking nice, I said. We made small talk and ordered more drinks. Suddenly, the whiskey hit my brain, and before I knew what was happening, I had bought a red rose from someone and was giving it to Millicent. After that, we had a three-course meal and then felt like dancing. Who wouldn't? There was only one Caelion in town, and the taxi driver knew where to find it. Scottish country dancing has always held a particular allure. Have you missed me? Millicent asked, huddling up close in the back seat. I miss lots of things, I said, watching the shops slip by. In particular, the sense of innocence which seems to have vanished from contemporary society. We entered the Cayley through a side entrance, avoiding the usual queues. A flash gun popped as the beefy Highlander held open the door. Everyone stopped where they were as we appeared at the back of the hall. At first they just stared, open-mouthed, and then they were clapping and shouting, crowding up to us. I put my arm around Millicent and waited for the flow to ebb. Sure enough, they soon tired and went back to their traditional group-based formations. The rest of the night passed quickly. One minute we were backed up against the wall, shielding ourselves from desperate, pleading hands. The next we were crafting a trajectory through the tartans, our bodies close and hot, driven on by the pulsating rhythm of the twin accordions. It was getting light as we walked home. The streets were empty, but our hearts were full. Good night, Millicent said, holding me tight on her doorstep. Good morning, I shouted, indicating the position of the sun. She pulled me closer, and our lips touched. Call soon, she breathed, closing the door. I stood, panting and needy. From inside came a wild shriek and the sound of a champagne cork being pulled. She was right. Time for breakfast. The pictures were bad, but the feeling was worse. The office wasn't happy. You've compromised your position, they said. It's only some photographs, I replied. They had us in the bar, at the Cayley, on the doorstep. Then, on page 7, there was Millicent's beaming face as she bared all for the cameras. No wonder the office weren't happy. You're the duck man, the voice said. Make sure it doesn't happen again. They must have thought I was stupid or something. I had already called Millicent and postponed our visit to the new museum. She could go on her own as far as I was concerned. There were a few people in the media calling for my resignation. The office said not to worry. Do your job and let us take care of them, they said. Just do your job. Later, cruising the canned goods aisles at the supermarket, I could feel eyes following me. When I got to the checkout, people hissed when I asked for double bagging. I didn't even bother about cash back. That week, I fed a lot of ducks. It was like being in a frenzy. Some of them didn't like it, but they ate anyway. With every throw of bread, I felt I was resetting the balance. This is what they wanted. The office, the ducks, everyone. It was my job to deliver. Sure enough, After a week or so, I sensed a change. The people with placards disappeared from outside my semi-detached house. And there was no longer any need to run outside in the middle of the night and extinguish burning effigies. Pleased with this change in the social current, I sought to exploit the prevailing winds. One day, I went to a nearby loch, the one beside the big hill, and fed some ducks there. And that was that. The next morning didn't arrive. It battered its way in. Thump, thump, thump went the door, in a way that made me think there had to be someone there. I opened it, and everyone from the office fell into the room. "Would you like a coffee?" "I'm afraid there's no tea," I said, before they could ask. "What's this?" someone demanded. A newspaper was thrust in my face. Then another, then another. That made three in total. All of them had a picture of me at the loch. "I was feeding the ducks," I explained. Before anyone could say anything, a medium-sized stone crashed through the window. From outside came the sound of a raging mob, many of them holding copies of that morning's first editions. Inside, there was a hasty conference. "Quick," someone commanded. "Out the back." I stopped making coffee, and we burst into the garden, fleeing for our lives as the sound of a raging mob breaking down the front door filled our wake. Clambering through the rockery, we became aware of another sound, and a sort of draft effect from above. Leaning back, our eyes met with those of the helicopter gunship crew hovering over us. "Put your hands up," boomed a megaphone. Immediately, we obeyed. "Stop running." Again, we obeyed. From behind came the sound of a raging mob deciding to go home, as they realized that the forces of law and order had the situation under control, and that justice would, in all likelihood, prevail. "What have I done wrong?" I demanded, as they dragged me into the dock. Everyone scowled and shushed me. That was the last time I asked that question. From then, matters moved quickly. It was like some kind of system. Clearly they'd done this sort of thing before. Anyway, I was no pushover. I denied it, and then I confessed. That's the way things work. "I was just doing my job. I was feeding the ducks," I shouted. "I'm the duck man." This didn't impress anybody. Apparently they were not ducks, but swans. I found all this hard to take. But I looked it up in a book later, and they were right. Basically, it's a matter of scale and colour. I've never seen anyone from the office ever again. Something to do with where I am relative to where they are. Wherever they are, I hope they have good, fulfilling, new jobs. As for me, I'll never be given employment anywhere. Too much risk. That's society's decision. I've got it in writing. Not that I care much. There are very few advertised positions that I find attractive anymore. And none at all where I might make a meaningful difference.
James Bryce was reading Duck Man by Brian Hennigan, the final story in our week of Comic Fringes, produced at the Pleasance Cabaret Bar in Edinburgh by David Jackson Young.